Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! I'm good on the Cowboys.
Yeah, let's continue on that. That's the topic we started. I'm absolutely ready to be done with the Cowboys. The Rams this weekend is an easy one for me.
Rooting interest.
I would love to see the Cowboys get punched out because they're the Cowboys.
Did you guys see Jerry Jones bought a $250 million yacht? Did you guys see that story?
You've been reading about all that? You've been seeing that?
There are big lakes in Dallas for him to put that in?
I don't know where he has it stored, but that guy has a $250 million yacht.
Yeehaw! I'm a compensating.
I've never even looked into going at the boat show. I've gone to the boat show and looked at but
this isn't available.
No,
the boat show.
No, I know this one won't be. This is more like a ship.
It's because there are holes in the water you throw money into.
I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, at that price. It can like sleep 30.
Between his gambling and the lifestyle, and that boat, $3.2 million. I warned him. There's absolutely no resale value whatsoever.
It's got two helipads.
Sure, he's Jordan Belfort.
Yeah.
Those helipads, make sure they're harnessed down, though, if storms get bad. Because if they blow off of the boat when you're getting rocked in 20-foot waves out there, they're not going to help you.
No.
I don't know.
I can't go down there. There's flooding. It's 3 feet of water down there.
I will not die sober. Get those boats.
Okay.
Go.
Okay.
Yo. Saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
McNeil and Parkin's on The Score. Thanks for hanging out with us. The Wolf of Wall Street was selected the other night at my house. Just a movie channel about 30, 40 minutes into the movie probably. But I think it was on FX.
It was on FX. I watched it as well.
Okay.
Parts of it.
That is a movie that you cannot watch on regular cable with commercials and edits.
Totally agree. I've done it two nights consecutively now. I did it with Wolf of Wall Street. I think Wednesday night I watched a little bit of Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, that's when we had it on.
And Werewolf of Wall Street.
Werewolves of Wall Street. Yeah, it's not a Chop Chop movie, Francesa. Last night I was doing a toggle just to relax and go to sleep to either The Town, which we both love.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ted 2, which we both love. Me more than you because you just haven't spent enough time with the sequel to Ted.
Yeah, I can't quote it as well as the first one, but it's good.
Right, it is very good.
Yeah.
And they both were on commercial television, too. So they had commercial interruptions and all the F-bombs were bleeped. Or just gone silent. And neither of those movies works without the F-bombs.
Yeah, but the F-bombs...
add to it.
Of course.
That's how people talk.
It's part of the humor.
Especially the kids from Charlestown. Yeah, 11 o'clock last night, I was banging it out on the North End at 9 a.m. I wasn't just going to roll up on a Star Market for a box of quarters.
That's amazing. And that's a good fall asleep movie for you, The Town?
Yes, it is.
Nice. A little
I love that movie. If it's on, I'm in.
Me too.
I'm in.
I feel the same way. But I'm watching Wolf of Wall Street. No cursing. No graphic drug use. No gratuitous nudity.
I know. It is so chopped up.
You can't even understand what he's saying.
And it was if you looked at the guide, it said it's a four-hour film. So you're going through all those commercials because it's a long film anyway. It flirts with three.
Yeah.
I think it's close to 3 hours.
Yeah.
So you add plus all of the content that's been extracted from it.
I said to Steph, I'm like, listen, you know I love this movie and we'll watch it with you at any time, but it's available on demand. It's on Netflix. Like, let's just start from the beginning. Or if you want to go to this scene, I'm there. It'll take 2 minutes to find this unedited. We'll make up that time by the next commercial break.
Well, I think I've decided now to start recording, just looking in advance if you can, and just record those that are going to be on over-the-air TV. That's not over-the-air, but, you know, with commercial interruption. I'm not going to do it if they're edited and cleaned up, though. I like the potty mouth in films, and I totally agree with whoever once said profanity is the act of a feeble mind trying to express itself forcefully. I agree with that, but that doesn't mean I don't love it.
See, I don't know if I agree with that. Curse words can be funny. It's how adults speak.
Sure, they can be, but...
You know, it's how adults speak. It's funny.
That's how I speak. It's how you speak.
Yeah, but I think it's a... What was it, Lewis Black, who said, if you're inside... And, you know, he was talking about New York City. He's like, if you're inside New York City and you go outside and the temperature dropped and it's 10 degrees and there's a cold wind coming off and you don't say, mother, then I don't trust you. Like, that's just a normal human reaction to let one fly.
I get it.
And not that Lewis Black is the most highbrow of observational comics, but he's a funny guy.
Not real familiar with his work.
He's the angry... screamer type, hilarious, did some Daily Show stuff.
Mac, I'm sure you've seen Inside Out, right?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I think that's Pixar. Yeah, he's the angry one on Inside Out.
Okay.
Yeah, his comedy's known for being angry. I find him hilarious. He had this one bit about overhearing someone at a restaurant. He said it was the single most inane thing I've ever heard. And I learned, I didn't go to med school, but that's how brain aneurysms happen. When you hear something as dumb as this. The woman said, if it weren't for my horse, I wouldn't have spent that year in college. And then he just does like all of this physical comment. If it weren't for my horse, I wouldn't have spent that year in college. What does she mean? And it's a pretty good premise for a bit. Lewis Black.
Speaking of horses.
I didn't think we'd go there, but yeah.
Should we get to our texter of the week right now? It's kind of loosey-goosey today. I don't know if you have
I got nothing.
You have nothing planned. You don't have a Kirk Cousins like every little hunk of every hour today designated for what you have to do, and you'll be thrown off horribly if we don't.
Let's go to the text.
All right, let's go to the texter of the week, and I actually would call this guy, and I want to say nice things today about nice people because I'm in a good mood, but we've been bashing callers lately. You and I both have been. Lawrence has joined hands with us in that because we lament bad calls on the station and in the craft in general. But the good thing is about texting, while we miss the intimacy of conversations with listeners, we don't do it too often, we get some really funny and immediate reaction. And Peoria Matt, since Spiegel and I started our thing 10 years almost ago, has been just hysterical. And you got caught in cliche hell the other day. You couldn't remember what?
If you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. Is the cliche.
Yeah, you weren't sure how to finish it. You asked me for confirmation, and I'm like, yeah, you got it right.
Well, yeah, I was like leaking confidence after I started it, and then I stuck the landing correctly.
You can
but
lead
I
a horse to Margaret Thatcher, but she won't be in Canada.
It won't be Margaret Trudeau, right?
So Peoria Matt chimes in. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't fly him to Louisville to race in the Kentucky Derby, which is a spinoff of our Derby fun we had at Connor's expense when he was so curious about how they get the horses to Churchill Downs.
How the hell do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race?
Well, it's even more interesting than that. They fly them. They put them in a plane.
Imagine that.
A plane.
They put them on the Naomi.
Yeah, right. It's an aircraft carrier for horses.
So Matt, knowing that and knowing a lot of what we do here, says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him get on a plane and fly to Louisville.
How the hell
like
do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race?
The Connor enunciation
of it. It's even more interesting than that. They fly them. They put them in a plane.
The Connor enunciation gets me too.
Ron Major still delivering the news you need after retirement.
You know what? He covered the what? Naivete of the question by being it's actually kind of interesting.
Is it that interesting?
Funny as it is, they fly him.
That's really interesting.
And I had, you know, I wondered about the flight and what you do and what that plane must look like. And I knew they flew them. But I would love to see what those planes look like that are carrying that type of precious cargo that's a little bit unusual when it comes to making something comfortable when it flies a long time.
And that is, of course, what Connor meant, but that makes it a lot less funny.
Correct.
You know, yes, so what do you do?
Well, it's interesting. They fly them. I love Majors' answer.
It's incredible.
That's classic.
It's an amazing answer. And, you know, to your point on Peoria Matt, who I agree, I think he would be the answer for everybody at the score for who is the best texter. And a huge part of the reason is obviously it's great content and he's funny. But I tell people this all the time. Someone will come up to me and say, oh, you know, listen to the show. I text all the time from the 847. I'm like,
you and tens of thousands. I'm the 847 guy. Okay.
I'm not
the first week at the score. Phone's ringing. Get it. We got a caller.
That's what I feel like people don't understand. We literally thousands of texts per show. I don't even read every one, but you know what I mean? But so if you sign your text,
yeah,
much better shot of it standing out, us getting on the air,
yeah,
and then remembering you.
And please exercise caution. We love it when you get back to us. And I have a blast during breaks, and sometimes even when we're flapping replying to the text, I enjoy the interaction, but please be safe and please be smart when you do this. You know, if you absolutely have to, you shouldn't do it when you're driving. I shouldn't. But you have to voice text it or wait till you're home. Wait till you're wherever you're going.
Yeah.
We're all going to kill each other at some point. I mean,
the state of driving is so much worse, I feel like. And I don't think this is an old man get off my lawn take, but in the city, the combination of rideshare drivers.
Yep.
And texting drivers.
Suburban,
it's ludicrous.
Suburban Uber and Lyft drivers who don't know the city are a problem too. If I see the airplane sticker on the back in Schaumburg Dodge, I'm immediately getting around the guy.
Yeah, it's crazy because I don't know where the Uber drivers all originate from, but like you do these trips and I feel unsafe. Like you're like behind the person and you're just, oh, they're honking, yeah, at them and their blinker's going for forever. They have no idea where they're going. They're like, well, I'm driving cautiously. That makes it more dangerous.
Yeah, it does. Well, and
step on the gas.
The people who want to ride the left lane, I take the Ryan to the Ford every night and I'm going to start taking the Skyway, even though it's hideously expensive these days, because I get to 87th Street and think, okay, all right, 87th Street, I'm going to be home in 20 minutes. No, 87th Street to 159th is now taking 29 minutes, 30 minutes at 6:30 at night. It's like, okay, move to the city, Mac. Well, it's not an option for me. But it's just been hideous. I don't know what the hell's going on at 7 o'clock at night where it's back though. It's been taking me an hour and 20 minutes to get home.
Hour and 20 minutes.
This morning I got from Dyer to Glenview in 47 minutes.
That's good.
And that's a 56, I think, mile commute from my place to my doctor's office in Glenview and 30 miles from my house to the building. And it's taking an hour and 15 at night. I don't know what the F is going on the Ford or the south end of the Ryan, but it's been hideously slow all winter.
Everything good at the doctor, though?
Yes, I feel fantastic. I got cortisone shots in my right knee. This is evidence you're approaching 58 years old when you go to bed excited on a Thursday night because your weekend is starting with pain relief shots.
Mm.
That, and you're excited about it. I felt so excited. I could hardly hold a thought in my head or sit still. It felt great. I have a fantastic medical team, and I'm feeling good. Yeah, first time I've had this bad boy shot in more than 2 years. It's been getting bad this winter, so I had to get it. Shot.
How long does it last? I've never had cortisone.
Sometimes it doesn't help at all. Sometimes it helps for 3 months. Sometimes it helps for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
It depends. Since when I got my left one replaced almost 2 years ago, the right one got stronger because you rehab both legs when you're in the rehab process with a knee replacement.
Okay.
So the right leg felt better for about a year, but the last 6 to 8 months have been a little. Golf was a little bit of a bitch on my right knee this summer.
Mac MD.
I'm too fat. That's part of the problem. I'm carrying 235 pounds right now. I should be 195.
195?
Yeah, I should be 195.
Well, you've told me before that you had a drop of 70 pounds once.
I have, yeah.
So you're so fat.
I can do it.
40's nothing.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It's when I cared what I looked like.
It's when you cared what you looked like. Okay. Well, I was going to say, you care about the brown rice.
I do.
How's your sushi?
Fantastic.
You're happy with it.
Are you?
I am going back for seconds.
Okay.
Coming up here.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you very much for
You're
sponsoring.
You're welcome. Thanks for the Greek food yesterday.
Oh, of course. People helping people. It's beautiful stuff.
Later on today, I want to tell you about a conversation I had at my medical provider today that was about the show. And it's a true story. It's not me embellishing as a play off of what we were doing the other day regarding Bernstein and his grocery store friends who yes. comment on their show content. Somebody did make several comments to me about the show. About you in particular, and I'd like to share that at some point today if we have enough time. I know we're going to spend a lot of time kicking the kicker today because that's what we do.
Beck, I am willing to say right now, let's not play Cody Parkey. Let's not talk about it.
Obligatory. It is obligatory to talk about it. For people who didn't see the Today Show today or hear the interview on the Score, it's probably played several times. It also has played in scoreboard updates, which no longer happen after 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Joe O says goodbye. He'll be on tomorrow morning, by the way, with his sports gambling show at 8:30.
Early odds
with Joe O.
It's a great podcast. That was a great idea to turn that into a show, by the way.
Yeah, they should put it on CBS's pregame coverage of Super Bowl 53. Just the audio.
Joe will be there one day.
Just put the shield up there and just have Joe's audio track to it.
It'd probably rate pretty well. Especially, it would stand out.
I am stunned.
I'll see if I can find more of an explanation for you during
that.
The,
that deserves to be absolutely barbecued. I'm not saying it has to be a big part of it, but if you're going to do 7 hours, I believe it's the most wagered on sporting, and that is real bad grammar, in the calendar year. I don't even the Kentucky Derby, I think, is second to the Super Bowl. They're either one, two.
I'm pretty sure
any particular role. Is it the Super Bowl?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, okay. I think the World Cup might trump both if you're doing global, okay. But North American gambling, I'm yeah. almost positive it's
yeah.
the Super Bowl.
Well, it's very, very high, and I would think the sites would be tripping over each other to get advertising on there that includes the ability to produce some content.
What's funny, too, is it'll go from no content to a ton of content as soon as it becomes legal. And the NFL's already partnered with, what was it, Caesars or MGM? I forgot which one they did as their official partnership group for a casino, but it's one or the other. So mm-hmm. it's going to go from no gambling content to whenever that dam breaks, people will be complaining that there was too much gambling content. And then eventually they'll find their happy medium.
Yeah, and I understand those who don't gamble not wanting a ton of it, but I would hope that you realize if you're one of those that a lot of people do, especially for that event. I mean, people play squares. They do all kinds of different gimmicks.
What I always say, too, is even if you don't gamble, just like even if you don't play fantasy football, understand that it's just a market. It's just a way to quantify and enumerate like an expected outcome of a sporting event.
Correct.
So even if you
there's talk about the game into it. Yes.
Yeah. So okay. So the Saints are the biggest favorite of the weekend.
Right.
So that would be the biggest upset.
Look
if
at the Colts
Eagles...
offense. Here's a smart play, says Joe Fortenbaugh. Bet the Colts over for the game. Just themselves. Just bet Indianapolis over 26 tomorrow.
Right. Oh wow. So they should be able to move the ball against the porous yeah. Chiefs run defense.
And that's the content. Yes.
So the content can apply just to the general sports fan. Salute. Even if you're not a gambler. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Speaking of the playoffs, just ahead, how the Bears kicker is feeling in the wake of that almost game winner. He is an extraordinary guy. We're going to ask Cody Parker in an exclusive live interview.
Happened again.
Of course, exclusive and live interview, despite the fact that no new information was uncovered and he answered all of those questions with the Bears reporters right after the game.
No one ever mispronounced Adam Vinatieri. You know why? Because he makes his meaningful kicks
for
20 years.
That audio brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Cold and flu season hits hard, especially for the millions of people living with heart disease, asthma, or cancer. A fever can be a sign of the flu, which could mean a trip to the emergency room. Use the number one hospital preferred thermometer, the Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies. It's the best way to stay safe this cold and flu season. Shep, I saw you wrote for 670thescore.com on Cody Parkey in the Today Show.
I did. I said, Cody Parkey, all the best in life.
Cody Parker.
Cody Parker, too, all the best in life, everything that it may bring. Hope you find happiness and you get over this. Just get the hell off my television.
Tell your story walking.
Did you tune in?
I did.
So it was. So you actively chose to put Cody Parkey on your television?
I did, because it was obviously show content above all, right? That's why we get into this business. But no, I was curious, like, what is this going to be? Is this going to be breaking news? Is there going to be stories of death threats? Is there going to be something like that? Is it going to be redemption story of, oh, he missed the kick, but he's still happy and he's doing okay? And it's like there was no new information in any way, shape, or form. And it was like when the 4 or 5 minutes were done, I was like, okay, well, that was television and it happened. Okay.
Those morning television magazine formats historically have been pretty thin, but you would think if they're bringing in a guy who's not a household name, they would have something of substance to get out of him. There's got to, and it was nothing. It was 4 minutes or so of fluff. It added nothing. I can't imagine anybody outside of Chicago or where Cody Parkey's from who gave a damn about that interview. There was nothing interesting. And we do stuff for more than 4 minutes every day that's not interesting. But you're doing a national television show. What are you thinking?
Well, and
what is the thought process that goes into that?
It's also kind of damning with faint praise, is it not? Like, you blew the game and then you handled yourself well after the game.
I get tired of hearing that. They're expected to answer questions after the game. Not all of them do. And some of them do grudgingly, as Cam Newton did after his Super Bowl loss to the Broncos, and he got pounded for it because he acted very childishly at the lectern. And he deserved to be criticized for it, because you should answer the questions. You answer the questions when you do something right. You got to stand there and face the music when you don't.
But I feel like we're being a little almost hypocritical on that, right? Like, the reason that Cam Newton after the Super Bowl was a story is because that was the exception. It's the unusual that's news, right? House burns down, news. House stays standing, not news, because the house staying standing is normal. The vast majority of players who are the GOATs who mess up face the music and answer questions after the game.
That's right.
So Cody Parkey was in the majority, not the minority. The minority would have been if he would have said, F all y'all.
Yeah, I don't want to talk.
I don't want to
hide in my locker.
Then it would have been a get. You know, if he would have ditched the media or, you know, walked out of the locker room or cursed at the media, then it would have been something. But what Cody Parkey did isn't unusual. That's how the vast majority of athletes handle success and failure.
That's right.
Such an odd thing.
And that's like I kind of point out in my article. My point was being like, you don't see Allen Robinson had a paid appearance with us on Monday right after the game. You don't see you don't see Mitch Trubisky, who could be, you know, oh, I hurt my ankle or hurt my foot in the game. Don't see him parading around looking for a camera, looking for someone to feel sorry for him. You don't hear Khalil Mack, oh, man, if I would have made one more sack on that last possession of the game that the Eagles had, we'd still be playing football and we'd be getting ready for the Rams. Like, you don't see any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So why, if it's this idea that's being thrown at us, oh, it's not all Cody Parkey's fault, then why is he running into the limelight in order to get all this publicity off of it?
It felt selfish.
You're damn right it did.
I don't know why he did it. I think he's getting terrible advice. But I also think it's not going to matter because he's going to be an ex-Bear.
I can't imagine how many people hearing Shep say that Allen Robinson did a paid appearance are wondering, you guys pay Allen Robinson for that?
Yes. Yes, we do. I have a contract and everything. Weekly on Bears Mondays.
Did.
Yeah, well, the season's over.
Did.
Yeah, season. It'll be different.
Some changes. The new 2019 No More Eggshells Tour.
Texter says he doesn't deserve to get the Bartman treatment, though. That's what's different.
No one's giving. I should say no one. Idiots out there are giving him the Bartman treatment. Okay. We can all agree that the 0.5% of the morons on social media that are threatening his life or whatever are in the wrong. It doesn't mean that Cody Parkey should also be running to every camera that's putting out in front of him.
Well, and that wasn't even the story. I actually do think that there is some news value behind exposing the fact that threats on social media can be real, especially if they are specific.
He contended he's not been on it and is unaware of them.
So what are we even talking about?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, psychologically, how does this damage you? How in the world would you ever entertain the idea of kicking in that town again? There are things that could have been asked that weren't. It was terrible.
I agree. Tony in Des Moines, you're on the score.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you, Tony?
Oh, man, I'm all right, man. I was just calling about, you know, Mr. Upright itself, Cody Parkey. And, you know, I just feel like he was, you know, the Bears and him was a victim of his own failure, you know, him and Ryan Pace, because, you know, if he would have made, you know, some of those kicks during the regular season, I mean, you know, he probably wouldn't have had to make this kick anyway, because we'd have been on a bye week, you know, and, you know, Ryan Pace not bringing in any competition, I don't think that helped his situation, you know. So he was, you know, a $9 million mistake, one of the worst kickers in the NFL, you know, weakest link on the team. You know, that looks like was our ultimate unraveling. So I just would like for him to just, you know, stay off the TV, man. You can point to there as much as you like, man. But, I don't want to hear it. I don't know why he did the interview either.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Tony, are you Tony Bozeman?
No, man. Oh,
okay.
Nice.
All right. You said be nice? Is that what you said? It would be nice? Do you know who Tony Bozeman is? Yeah, it wouldn't be nice, because I tell you, I met him in rehab. I met a guy from Iowa named Tony Bozeman, and you sound just like him. Yeah, he was a 12-step brother, so it probably wouldn't be nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no, probably not.
You'd be standing around holding hands with strangers, telling them you're all your sordid details. You don't want that, Tony. Stay away from the Bozemans. Yeah, thanks, man.
No, not that guy, man. Thanks.
All right. Sounds just like him. The recovery brother,
sure,
checking
the other
in.
Guy is thrilled that his name just got thrown out there.
I haven't seen Tony Bozeman in probably 10 years. Probably. It's been at
well,
least.
Hope it's going well, other Tony from Iowa who's in rehab.
I wasn't optimistic about him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
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 I could see that. Bottom of the hour.
Sorry.
Sorry.
This is going great.
Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves are the highest scoring team in the AHL and boast a combined 20 international hockey medals. For the 25th anniversary, enjoy free parking courtesy of Kia. High scoring winning hockey and free parking. Chicago Wolves, last team standing.
A texter says when Spiegel and Boers talked to Robinson, there was a much better interview than when you and I did it. Oh, maybe Alan's just sick of our questions.
Yeah, maybe we suck.
Most definitely.
It's certainly possible.
He was always reliable. He was punctual.
It had its moments.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything bad about him as a guy. I was saying the interviews were just pretty much cookie cutter, not a whole lot to say, typical young athlete not wanting to step on any toes interviews.
Yeah. And we'll change some stuff up. Always, you know. Shoot for the stars, take another big swing. Just because you strike out the first
time,
don't get back into the batter's box.
Right.
The next time up, you'll still hear people and players and all that.
Yeah, and Tony Bozeman may call someday.
Yeah, I know. You think Tony Bozeman's just been like living the quiet life? He's dealing with his demons and his struggles. Then all of a sudden, Matt calls him out first, last name, and where he lives.
I know. I should have just said Tony B.
Watching his brother Chadwick make it on the big screen, become a big star.
It's tough, man. It's tough. By the way, Tanny, got a lot of love for the Soprano show yesterday. Did you do anything after the show to commemorate 20 years?
I was trying to figure out which clip I was going to watch because, as I said yesterday, I just finished cycling through the entire series when I was on vacation a couple weeks back. So what I did was I was like, what's the one scene that I can watch that kind of encapsulates the show the best? And I put it on my Twitter last night. It's the end of season 2 montage with the Rolling Stones through and through. The Funhouse episode, which is a great episode. I tweeted the link. And then also, I couldn't sleep last night, so I went ahead and got a Twitter thread going of my top 10 favorite episodes. Not the best, but my personal favorite. So you can check out my Twitter at Chris Tannehill if you want to check those out.
I told Tanny after the show yesterday I thought he was exceptional, and he's been to some degree a little bit reluctant to punch his button over there for the
at
first
times, yeah.
Yeah, but yesterday we both told him, you know, go ahead, go rip it up, man, and he did. He performed with a great deal of passion. Why the restlessness? Why no sleep?
I don't know.
Cody Parkey's Today Show appearance.
Yeah, I was just really excited for it. I was like, can I stay up all night?
Were you so juiced from the events of the day? Maybe?
Some nerves after. I was like, how did I sound? Was that okay? Did I add or subtract from the program?
Did you go listen to the podcast?
No, I would never do that. I want to be better, but I would never
rather be tortured not knowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Danny, you would appreciate this. When I was tweeting out the episodes last night, I said how stage 5 featured Sidney Pollack, his final role on screen. He played a oncologist who murdered his wife, so he's in a jail. And someone's like, hey, man, spoiler alert. I was like, trust me, you're good. It's a one-off character.
Yeah.
And I didn't tweet any spoilers last night.
Oh, but and God.
I loved Sidney Pollack.
Oh. He was great.
I loved him as a director, as a performer. He was terrific.
Great multi-episode arc in The Sopranos as well. But yeah, that is a... spoiler alert for a show that debuted 20 years ago. Get over yourself. That is one of the more ridiculous complaints you could possibly have.
Yeah, it
I'm
going to
get around to The Sopranos in 2022, Tanny. Like, jeez. Have a little decency. It's absolutely insane to me. There's some audio that's been making the rounds in the Score hallways that apparently we need to hear. We'll get to it. Greg Cosell at 3 o'clock on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It was not me, and I told that to Mitch, and I emailed it to Andy. I cleaned the damn thing up last night when I got there. I made a coffee at about 11:45 like I do every night because nobody else drinks it, and everything was fine. I left, and it was clean as a whistle at 5 o'clock. It was messed up after 5 o'clock. I don't care what anybody says, and anybody who says I did it is a damn liar.
What happened?
So that was from back with Dan and Terry when there was a debate over the coffee machine. Some things never change, and they accused it of being less, and he called in and defended himself.
Okay, I thought this had to do with the, I originally thought it was about the stench around the refrigerator that somebody was blaming less for that overnight. But
well, I'm glad you asked. So that's where this goes.
Oh, really?
So Tanny was playing that from back in the day just to show that it's happened before.
Good to hear Terry's cackle on the air, isn't it?
Yes, it's lovely. Well, I'm getting a text that says I was being blamed by some listeners for the stench in the freezer, which is just
you don't ever
baseless.
Go in it.
I buy my lunch. I never bring anything, so that's just slander.
Yeah. What the problem is it just hasn't been cleaned out of. There's vegetable bags in the freezer that have.
Now you know they're not mine.
Exactly, or mine.
Yeah, you know? I'm innocent.
Do olives count? Martini accoutrement. These bags of vegetables that have gone bad, and they smell like it reeks of way old broccoli. Is what it. And when you close the freezer door, it takes a good 5 minutes for that waft to dissipate.
It's toxic.
It's nasty. It's horrible.
And
it's worse than gas from Greek food.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, you were special the other day.
No, last night. We had Greek food yesterday.
Why was it the other day? You were what caused your that was because you hadn't eaten anything
when
you were
I got an excuse for everything.
Okay.
Man, let's get back to less and his
stink. Dairy. I'm sorry.
Let's
dairy,
get back to Greek. Stinky less.
All right, well,
it didn't mean to derail us.
Well, no, he was ranting and raving and railing against the state of our refrigerator.
They always have signs, please clean your stuff out of the fridge. Keep stuff out of the fridge. Keep it clean and stuff. It is a disgrace. Usually when a refrigerator reeks like this one does, it's got to be open. This one doesn't need to be open.
He's
it's
right.
Closed.
He's right.
Our original studio is on Belmont Avenue. You could probably smell this all the way over there. I would love to take this fridge and dump it in the Chicago River. The only problem is it would pollute the river. And just so that everybody knows, I'm not making this stuff up, Julio. I mean, this is absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, it's a pretty vile smell.
No, it's not that good. It's not that good.
That's horrendous.
Horrendous and vile would be an improvement of what this thing is absolutely terrible.
Absolutely
this
is terrible is worse.
Yeah, I would describe this fridge here.
I don't understand.
I don't get it. This is how I would describe the fridge, and you have train crossing sound effects.
I know. I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Devil's advocate here. Yeah. Does Les have multiple? Does he have a train sound effect and then a train wreck button on his digital, and then he just hit the train sound effect instead of train wreck?
That seemed like a non sequitur, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. Maybe this will clarify it.
This is basically the way I would describe
this fridge here.
Runaway train? What? I mean, this
He's railing against it?
This is like...
you expect, I don't know, the sound effect that leads up, and it's like, oh, these two trains are going to crash. And then somebody drops a Coke bottle, apparently.
Yeah, that is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. But when it's 3:30 in the morning, you're going to find out pretty soon. You're going to work with them overnight for a night.
Yeah,
I'm not
no,
making
I can't
this
wait.
Stuff up, Julio.
How's my guy Julio doing?
I met him for the first time last Sunday night, Monday morning after the Bears game, and after yeah. doing the national show, it came yeah. in with Les. Great guy. He was awesome. They're looking forward to having me in.
It's a pretty
February.
Vile smell.
Well, we talked. We
That's
talked,
a compliment.
We talked Michael Jordan flu game after the Bears playoff game. We talked. I learned.
I'd talk doors with him. That would be my first conversation with Julio.
Oh,
30-year-old man who knows deep track doors music.
I'm not making this stuff up, Julio.
No, I'm saying on air with Les. He told me stories about the flu game. He told me stories about the AFL. He told all sorts of, right after the Bears playoff game. I came in. I'm like, let's do a segment on the Bears. You sure? Sit down. And then Shep heard it.
Danny's 45-minute transition segment with Grobber.
Hey, look, some of the names that were mentioned, it was like a history lesson. I can't wait to do 5 hours with him. I have no idea if what he was saying was factually accurate. I had no clue. It was fascinating.
Well, I
though.
Was at the game. What do you want to know?
Oh, not the flu game stuff. He was talking about...
I think it was after the flu game, wasn't it, what he was talking about?
He was talking
it's
about...
the game in Salt Lake in 98, right?
Yes,
when,
no.
When Mac and Burnsy sabotaged his show.
No, right. That,
that was that trip, yes.
That story came up, and we discussed that. But he was talking about something from the pre-NFL-AFL merger.
It is a disgrace.
And a game that he was at, and then he did some cross-country travel, and he went to 4 games in 4 states in 4 days, mm-hmm. Ohio and Arizona and California, and then back here in Chicago.
Well, I'm know why. His hobby is...
Yeah, frequent flyer miles. Trust
My
me.
My hobby is frequent flyer miles.
It was all coming together.
Texters are saying that's a track from My Cousin Vinny. That's the train scene from My Cousin Vinny. Well, and I know the movie. We all know the movie. It was impossible for me to discern that was that sound effect's origin.
If it was, they definitely added in the glass breaking at the end of it. I don't remember that part of the movie. I just remember the train was keeping him up at night. I don't remember the porcelain being part of it.
Yeah, and... Right, I don't remember that. What would that have to do with a stinky refrigerator in the movie?
Right.
There was absolutely no connect the dots on that soundbite.
Well, Robert's staying up all night. He's staying up all night to do a radio show, not because the trains are keeping him up, but there's some connection there maybe.
And I talked to my guy, Les Grobstein historian Rick Camp, and he says the original file does say train wreck. So that's what Les believes a train wreck would sound like. So, you know, dealer's choice.
Les has a messed up.
Artist objective, whatever, if he feels that way.
Yeah, if that's his train wreck sound effect and his audience is conditioned
to know.
That's not
a train wreck. That's a train crossing,
to you and me, to the daytimers. Okay? You don't know what
art is subject to interpretation.
You don't know what a third shifter thinks a train wreck sounds like.
That's true. That's very true.
And someone says, how about you guys just clean out the vegetables? Yeah, that. Absolutely would be a solution to the problem.
It's a game of chicken. People yeah. are waiting for the person who had the person who brought them here probably hasn't worked here for several years, because how do bagged frozen vegetables come to stink so badly?
Yeah, I'm skeptical. I've never smelt something like or had something go bad in a freezer. It seems impossible.
It does.
It's in a freezer.
Sort of the whole point, isn't it?
Right. So I am kind of rejecting your premise. I think that there's something so bad in the fridge that it's like wafted up through and it emanates from either the fridge or the fridge. Because it's not like the fridge smells good.
I got the potential culprit. It could be Shane Reardon's bag of spoiled shrimp. Maybe
it can't still be in there.
Maybe he decided he didn't want to eat it, but he put it in that little tiny crack between the refrigerator and the counter space. He just tossed a few of them back there. I'll get you back. I know you're over here a lot making coffee, addict boy.
I was thinking about you. Boy. Wow, I was thinking about Tony you guys B. over break. We hosted the family a lot, and someone brought a big tray of shrimp. Shrimp cocktail. I was like, we already had some. So I was snacking on it the entire week, and I took a picture. I was like, I was sending it to the guys. Someone should come over and smell this for me, make sure it's okay.
It's ridiculous, man. Like, I really think that what we have here is we have something is so vile in the fridge that it's like crossed the border and it somehow emanates from the freezer because it doesn't make any sense.
It's supposed to be rectified soon,
according to who we were told.
Somebody said that the other day. I don't even remember where I heard it, but I guess the problem is supposed to have a solution, as most of them do. And I look forward to that because it's been nauseating. And I've done nothing about it, so I should be pointing the thumb more than the finger.
Texters say that it is the last My Cousin Vinny, when the train goes so close to the hotel that the coffee cup falls off the table and onto the floor. So there is a coffee mug that shatters in the scene. Mac, that's a separate point.
All right.
Good pull by the listeners. Thank you very much. Still, I don't get it.
We all agree it doesn't sound like a train wreck. It's just a train coming close.
But yeah, you want to hear a train wreck? Play the scene from Mark Grody's favorite movie, The Fugitive. It is unmistakably a train wreck.
708 texter already on top of you asking for that. Hell yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a train wreck. That's what I use to show people my big sound system. When guys come to the house, you want to see it really going, hear how this thing rocks? That's a train wreck. It's unmistakably a train wreck. You can't think it's anything else.
As opposed to the train just passing by in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and assuming that maybe it wrecked. You know, maybe that train wrecked. You heard the bells. That's a signal. It's a warning.
You guys are talking about this show like it's going to be punishment. I am excited for 5 hours overnights with Les.
Right. When you can see a finish line that's only 5 hours away.
Yeah, at one time.
The question is, at what point does Parkin start to think about how many minutes into the show does it go before Parkin starts to think, how much more?
It's got to be after the first break. Like, you got the adrenaline going segment one, and then you fire that commercial break. You're like, ooh, this is real now.
4 hours and 38 minutes to go.
I have a feeling you're going to have a really enjoyable time.
I do, too.
He's a good guy.
I'm genuinely looking
forward
to it.
He's weird, but he's a good guy.
Yeah, but he's are weird. Like, he's a historian. And there's not many of them
And
left.
If you get really bored...
How many live overnight
walk to the restroom with him and say, come on, let's see it. It's legendary. It is Milton Berlian, I'm told, from credible sources.
I don't have that gift of yours.
What gift?
You have an amazing gift to be able to bring up to another man the size of what he's got going on. I'm wondering if I'm going to let you down and not be able to bring it up in conversation with Les.
I suppose that's a thing from being in locker rooms forever. It's just second nature. And, someone said to me years ago, how do you think the athletes feel when they hear you talking about penis size on the air? I said, no one talks more about athlete penis size than athletes. That's where most of the stories I have come from.
Absolutely.
I never saw Minnie Minoso naked, but I'm friendly with Bill Melton, so I know that Minnie was not a condition.
There it is. I'm just saying, I don't know that I can bring it out of Les. I'm going to try.
You didn't hear the D come out of my mouth?
Okay. Greg Cosell.
Oh, yeah, let's get Kosi on. Let's knock down a piece of red meat if his travels ever bring him to Chicago.
That would be amazing. The most interesting thing from each division game with Greg Cosell next on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.